two as created beings in the garden. Marriage was intended from the beginning. Just understand that. Marriage was established as a pre-sin relationship. Therefore, marriage was intended to be the most extraordinary man-to-woman relationship on earth, because it was a part of the perfected creation. Because of this biblical truth, Satan has been attacking marriage from the beginning. His intention was to divide Adam and Eve, separate them. And after 6,000 years of corruption, Satan has gotten pretty good at destroying the covenant and reputation of marriage. But I'm telling you today that marriage is awesome. It is awesome. Marriage is not only intended to be the most extraordinary man-to-woman relationship on earth, it is the most extraordinary man-to-woman relationship on earth. I have 4 books on marriage in my office that I read a couple of times a year. 3 of the 4 books highlight mistakes and bad starts to the author's marriage. But they each clearly say, and I quote, "We made it through our desert time, and we are stronger and more in love now than ever." And I can relate to that. I know that there's dark times, but not just in marriage. That's the thing that is not fair to the institution of marriage. You have had a rough time with your mom and dad, and you're not married to them. At least you're not married to them. You've had a hard time with your siblings. You've had a hard time at work. You've had a difficult time relating to other believers in Jesus Christ. So marriage is not the only time when you find conflict. But marriage is the only relationship that is bound covenantally. There is a covenant that is made in marriage. I read a book over the weekend, and that's normal for me. I get a book, the elders know, I'll get a book, and I'll say, man, I got a hold of this book. I couldn't put it down. You guys have to read it. I haven't even had a chance to tell them about this book yet because it's coming. It's on its way. They're all going to get a copy. Every so often, I get excited about a book, and I can't put it down. This book, are you ready? If you have a pen, if you have a piece of paper with you, it's called The Good News About Marriage. I'm going to read it again to you. The Good News About Marriage. The author's name is Shanti Feldhahn. Now, you're going to be like, how do you spell that? Here's what I'm going to give you an opportunity to do. If you happen to have your cell phone with you right now and you have a book purchasing app, we're going to take a few minutes and play some elevator music, and you can look up the title and you can order it right here, right now, while we're sitting here waiting. Go right ahead. I'm serious. Pull out your cell phone. If you have an app that you can order it right now. I highly recommend it. The hardback version is $15. The softback version doesn't exist. You can get it on Kindle for $9.99. This is not sponsored by any of those things. But I want you, this is a very interesting book. It's a quick read. The elders also know that that means different things to me than it does than some people. But I was able to sit down and read it in a very quick amount of time. The Good News About Marriage by Shanti Feldhahn. What a title. I read about this book on CBN News. My wife read the same article, but I read this book about it, and she was going through all of these statistics, and something that she was saying is that we can do this live right now. Are you ready? We'll see how many people respond the same way. How many, on average, how many marriages end in divorce? Go ahead, say the percentage. Half, 50, right? Do you know that in the history of marriages, in the history of the United States, in the history of the Western civilization, we have never even come close to 50% divorce rate? Never even come close. The highest divorce rate that exists in America can be traced back to 1980, And in 1980, in the United States, the highest divorce rate at that particular time was 39%. You say, well, why do we all know 50? Because you're not listening to the report of the Lord. You're listening to psychiatrists and psychologists and projected amounts. What it is they look at the condition. If those of you who were in your 20s in the 70s, come on, church. We're glad that you're here with us saved, okay? We'll just put it that way. If you were in your 20s in the 70s, welcome to Jesus, right? I mean, it's like the 70s were an interesting time in human history. And the highest divorce rate came between 78 and 82, following this, the 1960s of this sexual revolution that they had. And so what they were doing is they saw the condition and the things that couples were coming into marriage with, and then they began to project what the divorce rate was going to be, and that became the standard. And the projection was, if we keep going this way, if we keep doing this thing, this is where marriage is going to be. But in actuality, people who are in their first marriage far outnumber the people in their second marriage. That's the truth. And that's true on survey. We take a survey in our country every 10 years. It is researchable, findable truth that you can go through and you can find out that the divorce rate is actually lower than you've ever been told. We've always been told that it's 50%. Another fact that is not quite so factual, but another statistic that you've heard is that the divorce rate is the same in the church as it is in the world. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that before. Go ahead, don't be shy. You're not alone if you're raising your hand. That is not true. It is not true. The divorce rate within the church tracks anywhere from 5 to 10% less than the average for those who don't ever attend church. Marriages in church are stronger than marriages in the world. Can I get an amen? You know that, but you've been told otherwise. And even in our own counseling, me as a pastor and what I've been doing, I've set out for a long time, it's like, I'm going to save this marriage. We're starting right now. Son, you're going to hate the next 40 years of your life, you know? But you're going to stick it through. You know, how many guys are like, oh my goodness, what in the world am I gotten myself into, right? But that's totally, I mean, who wants to join that? And so what we've done is we've given marriage a bad rap based on faulty information. And the reality is that marriages are far more successful, far more enjoyable, far more fulfilling than anybody has ever been told. Especially, everybody say especially, if you do it the way God designed your marriage to be. Especially, because you might be sitting there going, Phil, this isn't adding up. Well, thankfully, we have a blueprint. The blueprint is part of it, is just what I just read a little bit of the schematic to you this morning from Ephesians 5. But I'm telling you today that marriage is awesome. I want to encourage those listening, whether you're joining us online or right here in the sanctuary, that Ephesians 5 outlines for us exactly what we need to do. And as I told you, I read that every single time I sit down with young couples in our marriage counseling time. And this morning, what I would love for you to do is to walk away from this service today with hope that God intends for brothers and sisters in Christ to have strong, fulfilling, powerful relationships that are an example of what it means to be a follower of Christ versus not having a relationship with the Lord. I know people that do not have a relationship with the Lord and have an appearance that their marriage is way better than some that are walking with the Lord and going through some difficult times. Being in the ministry for a couple of decades now, I found out that time is the evaluator. I found out that the people that are going through difficult times, if the husband and wife love the Lord, if the husband and wife have a blueprint that they're following from the Lord, if they're reading Scripture, if they have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ, Even though that couple may go through some dark times, there is hope because they are in a covenantal relationship. I have found that over time, a couple that is not connected with the Lord, that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, they can have the appearance of success. They can have the appearance that something is going well. And then after 20, 25, 27 years, a couple that is being separated is often being separated because they're broken relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ. It had been a while since I had read an encouraging book on marriage. Most books are, they try to get there, but they start off with all this stuff, and you're like, man, no wonder it's so hard. But this book, it wasn't all that big, but the print was really, really small, so I needed my 3x glasses, Scott. It was that the 1.5 weren't cutting it. I couldn't put it down. I know that my marriage is healthy. I know that I love my wife more than I did as a starry-eyed 20-year-old when I first, 21-year-old when I first met her. I know I'm experiencing the best years of our marriage, and they're only going to get better. But I have never heard someone write an entire book with such optimism. I encourage you, all kidding aside, remember that title, look it up, be encouraged. She uses hard, fast statistics, and she loves the Lord. What I've been sharing with you over the past 6 weeks was on a general topic of what relationships can look like. And today, as I take a moment and just park a little bit on this idea of marriage, I want you to tune in real carefully. If you're married, I want you to tune in. If you're single, I want you to tune in. If you're never planning on getting married, or if you've been married and you're never planning on getting married again, I want you to tune in. The person that understands God's intention for marriage will have a better understanding of God Himself. So it doesn't even necessarily mean that you have to be in a marriage relationship. As long as you understand the design that God has for marriage, it's only going to increase your understanding of who God is and His character. My emphasis has been on our relationship with God from the beginning. Every single message I've shared with you since January 1st has been, you must have a solid relationship with the Lord if you want any relationship in your life to be successful. You cannot find your hope in your spouse, in your girlfriend, in your boyfriend. You cannot do that. You cannot put that kind of burden. There is no human being that was designed on this planet that was designed to make you happy. It doesn't say the joy of Alexa is my hope. Hopefully your phones are on mute and they didn't pick that up and now they're searching for something on hope. That's happened to me before. It says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 and following. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Are you not, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Can you change that you to I and say, I was bought with a price? You ready? I was bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And this kind of language in Western civilization, we're like, I am my own. And we stand against those things. But here's the beautiful thing about it. As I have given my life to Jesus Christ and surrendered my life to Him, I am now His and His alone. I belong to Him. And in order for my relationships on earth to be successful, I must have priority on my relationship with God. The success of my earthly relationships are an outpouring of my relationship with God. The Holy Spirit directs us to have a healthy relationship with God before we can expect healthy relationships with others. Alexa and I learned this as we grew together. I mean, just like everybody, you have to learn how to function. So it's not like, you know, we went, you know, skipping through the field of daisies as they were, the petals were floating behind us, and we're just like, this is magnificent. I mean, it absolutely was. But as you know, you have to learn how to live with somebody else and have somebody else in your life. That's not just a problem because of marriage. That's a problem because there's two human beings involved. Have you ever moved into, any of you that went to college, did you ever live in a quad with other students? Weren't those the most amazing times in your life? You ever been in dorms? You ever gone as a kid? Did you ever go to camp? You walk into there and you're the last one in. You get the bed that's right by the toilet that nobody wanted. And you got to get along for the next 7 days with people that are screaming and hollering and stink and don't clean themselves. Anyway, I don't want to get too personal. Relationships are difficult because we are sinful, broken human beings. What the enemy wants to do is the enemy wants to take those kinds of relationships and equate them with and put some kind of extra burden on something that has to do with marriage, where instead what God does is God blesses our marriages. God brings us together. It is a sign of relationship with Him. I discovered that my most significant relationship has to be God first. If I have a strong relationship with God, I can navigate the trials that come from having somebody else in my life. That's just the way it works. Being single is not a curse. Being single allows you to pour all of your energy into your relationship with God. I would encourage you, no matter where, if you are in this room and you're single, whether that's because you are divorced or whether you're a widower or a widow, if you're young, young adult and you're not married, if you're a student, understand this. If you want a successful trend of relationships coming down the road, focus on your relationship with God. That does not mean that perfection lies ahead. But what it does is it releases the burden that we put on the relationships around us. I do not overburden my wife with the need to make me happy. I am joyful and I am excited to be in my relationship with her, but Alexa is not the source of my joy. She was not created to be that. That's not what her intention was. I am not the source of Alexa's joy. The Lord is. I am not the source of Alexa's salvation. The Lord is the source of her salvation. And together as two people that love Jesus, we've come together. We've had to work through some things. We've had to figure out how to work together and how to live together and how to raise children together, how to be a part of a congregation together. All these things you would have to do in most circumstances. The difference is that in a marriage relationship, you are now in a covenant that was created and designed by God, the single greatest relationship that God created on earth for humans to enter into. I would encourage you not to look outside of your relationships with God for that fulfillment. You're going to be disappointed if you do that. Serve God with all of your heart. Give your heart entirely to Him. God comes in with the Holy Spirit and fills us in our darkest times. The Holy Spirit will begin to occupy your thoughts and bring hope into any circumstance that you might find yourself in. One of the books that I've read a couple of times, it was written by Jimmy Evans, who, in a way, he was the one who was the author of a couple of books that we went through when we were doing our study on Revelation and end times. But his first ministry that he established with his wife was marriage seminars. They went around the world doing this. And this book is called Marriage on the Rock. And I did a series probably about 6 or 7 years ago this is where I got that title from. This book was written about 25 years ago. This is what he says in his book. Although the Bible was written years ago, its words are still true because they were inspired by a living God who does not change. Pray and read the Word of God daily. You will experience the reality of His presence in your life. And here's the key phrase right here. You ready? Transfer your expectation to Jesus. I love that phrase. Transfer your expectations to Jesus. You will not be disappointed. If our hope and our joy and our strength is in the Lord, our relationships do not achieve perfection, but in our heart, what we begin to do are in the words of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians that we read. And I want to close this morning just by highlighting a couple of these real quickly with you. The first part in verse 25, I'm just going to kind of go through verse by verse on this just real quickly. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's the verse that I read the main part of the blueprint. This is important. Husbands, if you love your wives as Christ loves the church, it tells us here he gave himself up for her. Sacrificial living is not this disappointment. Well, I guess now I can't do whatever I want to do. If you want to do what you want to do, can I help you out in life? Don't get married. Do whatever you want to do. That's fine. But you can't walk into marriage with the mentality that you had when you were 18 and running around doing whatever you wanted to do. You still can't do that if you want to be a follower of Christ, but you definitely can't do that when you walk into a marriage relationship. It's like, well, I got married, and then all of a sudden I couldn't do blah, blah, blah. No kidding. Next thing you know, we had kids, and then I was really strapped. What is your problem? What did you think was going to happen? You're married. Kids are going to come. So what we're seeing here, first and foremost, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's a sacrificial relationship. And then he says this, that he might sanctify her. Who's the her? That's the church. That's Jesus talking. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Now that's the example that we're given. Now look in verse 28. In the same way. So now we saw what Jesus did for the church. And now what happens is the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to come back around. And he says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. What an amazing principle. He who loves his wife loves himself. Can I tell you, I really love my wife. Oh, yeah. I love myself. So I gotta love my wife. You're like, that's a weird statement to say, but isn't that true? I'm not gonna willingly and knowingly bring harm to myself. So I love my wife. And then he goes into some detail on that in 29 and 30. But look, in verse 31, he goes back to Genesis, which if you ever want to know the purpose of something, just feel free, go back to Genesis. There's an entire ministry that is based, their whole enterprise of who they are on, let's get back to Genesis. If you want to know why something is there, well, go back to when it was created and see what God said about it. And that's exactly what Paul does. In verse 31, he says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a mystery, he says. So even to Paul, depending on what denomination, even to Saint Paul, right? Marriage is a mystery. But something that is a mystery doesn't make it a faulty enterprise. Mysteries take time to figure out. You can work them out. You can work them out together. You can build something together. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ in the church. And he closes with this. Let each one of you love his wife as himself. And watch this. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Do you see that there was 1, 2, 3? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses on what the husband should do. God is not an equal opportunity employer. What I have found out is that the way that I love Christ is reflected in my marriage. It is a reflection of how I function with my wife. And I read sections of this to Alexa the other day. I wanted to make sure that this was all in the up and up. She's not sitting here hearing some of this for the very first time. I read some of this to her, something she's hearing for the first time, because I didn't read the whole thing to her. That would not be fun. That would be, actually. But the idea is that in order for our relationship to work, there's things that I have to do in getting my relationship right with the Lord. Me. And that is God's plan and intention. Wives, this doesn't mean, see, I'm in the free and clear. Your message with God is all screwed up, and so that's why I can do the way I am. That doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Wives are supposed to, this Proverbs 31 situation, one of the things that is talked about there is the praising that goes on between the husband and wife. You read through the Song of Solomon and you find out this mutual connection that's being made as they're praising and lifting each other up. It is a mutual thing, and the mutual side of it is this, is as I love the Lord and as I get my relationship right with Him, I begin to see the things that well up within my wife, and we together are on this journey, hand in hand, side by side, going through life, and I wouldn't choose it to do it with anyone else. You say, well, of course you're saying that. But here, let me end with this last statistic. They did a survey of a couple, I think it was like 1,100 couples. And they had some questions that they needed to answer, and they compared them all. One of the questions was this, or it was stated in a statement, and then you said yes or no to the statement. Not only would I choose marriage again, but I would marry the same person. That's important. Some people are like, yeah, I'd get married again, but I don't know about, no. The question is, I choose marriage and I would marry the same person again. Spouses don't get to see the reply. Here's what it was. 93% of the couples surveyed said they would marry the same person again. You tell me that marriage is in a downward trend? I beg to differ. 93% not only said they would get married, but they would marry the same person again. 93%. The other 7% we haven't been able to find. But just don't go to any construction sites in New York, you know what I mean? Let's stand together on that note. Be encouraged. Marriage within the body of Christ is stronger than it's ever been, and it's only going to get stronger. As people begin to see that their lives are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, they begin to work on their relationships with other people. One of the greatest clues into this type of relationship is what we call the Good Samaritan. It's not by accident that God in that story, when Jesus was telling that story, that people unrelated to their culture, that the person unrelated to the culture was the one who helped. The one who was a part, the ones that were a part of the culture passed by, saying we need to reach beyond ourselves. We need to have good relationships. And the way that we can have a good relationship is if we have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the standing principle. So no matter where you are in the scope of relationships, and everybody in this room is in a different spot, no matter where you find yourself, I guarantee you that the one that is most important to you is the one with Jesus. All the time, hands down, no comparison. You get that right, the relationships in your life are going to begin to be more meaningful and more powerful. You're going to be able to function within them greater. And I just want to pray a blessing over you as we go together this morning. Father, I just come before you right now and I thank you that we can turn to your word and we can find that you actually have made a powerful statement to us on how important marriage is. And Father, I pray for every single relationship that's represented in this room. Single, married, divorced, widowed, widower, whatever the circumstance is, Father, right now, relationship with you needs to be our priority. Help us to focus on who you are in our lives, remembering what you've done for us, the sacrifice that you made for us, and to build our other relationships on the foundation of you. We thank you for that. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.